In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Luther in the Small Catechism gives us a morning ritual. He says, when you wake up, make the sign of the Holy Cross, saying, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It's the name of our baptism. Then, confess the creed and pray to our Father. If you want, you may also add this little prayer. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. And then go to your work joyfully, singing a song like the Ten Commandments hymn, or whatever your devotion suggests. This is what Jesus and Peter teach us this morning also, especially with these words from Peter. At your word, Lord, I will let down the nets. At Christ's word, each of you is made holy. And so you may go about your work, whatever it may be, with confidence. First thing is first, abide in the word of Jesus, by which you are truly his disciples. Now, what was Jesus teaching? What were his words here? Well, we know what Jesus usually preached to the crowds. Repentance and faith in him. Deny yourself and find everything in me. Take up your cross and follow me. In faith toward God and in fervent love toward one another. Now, we don't have the transcript from this sermon. But we read that the crowds were pressing in on Jesus to hear him. We too should learn from that example and cling to the word of God as our highest and our greatest treasure, so much that we would threaten to push Jesus right into the drink like they were. These Christians went wherever the word is. And in so doing, they were living up to the name that God gives to all of us, every Christian. Disciple. Because they were hearers and learners. And Jesus wanted to be heard by them. Now, Peter was already one of Jesus' disciples too. That is, he was a Christian. John chapter 1 tells us how his brother Andrew, a disciple of John the Baptist, first brought Peter to Jesus. And he said, we found the Messiah. Here he is. He's the Lamb of God who's taken away, who takes away the sin of the world. And Peter was called to be a disciple just like you, dear saints. He heard the word of God and he believed it. And so he stuck close to that word. So much that he often lent out his boat to Jesus to use as a pulpit. A disciple will not only follow that word around, but will also see that it continues to be preached. Now, what would that look like in our day? What would following the word around look like for us? Well, dear saints, it could mean exactly what it sounds like. Now, sadly, we base our moves usually on small matters. We think they're the big things. Our job, our family, weather, the cost. And then later, almost as an afterthought, we start looking around for a good church nearby. And we always assume that that's going to be the easy thing to find, right? Well, you need to know that as Christianity continues to decline in our country, the day is going to come when you might have to drive 50, 100 miles, if you're lucky, to find a decent Orthodox congregation with a faithful pastor who preaches good things to you. Stay with us, Lord. But oh, that we would gladly lack everything else rather than lack your word. That we'd be willing to move to a new town for the number one concern of a faithful congregation and a preacher who is faithful to the Lord's word. And if we have one, as we are blessed here, then to do everything in our power to preserve this among us also, this word. But also from today's gospel, see that the call to be a disciple of Jesus, what it is not a call to leave this world altogether. Now, yes, whatever hinders receiving the gospel, that has to give way. But the gospel doesn't call us away from our earthly duties. It does not, as the Church of the Middle Ages got wrong, call us to leave and abandon our spouse or our children or our vocation. Go join a monastery somewhere. Nor does it call us all into some new vocation, like missionary or minister. Rather, the Word of God sanctifies our lives and our work. Makes our vocations the very place where holy lives are led. Where does the life of repentance and faith and holiness in Jesus Christ happen? It happens in your vocations, in the place where God has called you to be a Christian and a disciple. Every disciple, every Christian, has this divine call from God. He calls them through His Word and through holy baptism to be His own, to live under Him in His kingdom, and to serve Him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. He called Peter and Andrew to be that kind of disciple, to be a Christian. And He called them to be a Christian in a particular station in life, with duties and tasks that are made holy because Christ sanctifies His whole Christians. What sort of vocations? Well, for example, we read in another place in the Bible that Jesus had to come and heal Peter's mother-in-law. We'll do the math. It means Peter was married. Peter didn't stop being a husband when the Lord made him a Christian, nor, by the way, when the Lord made him an apostle, either. So, likewise, Peter wasn't called to abandon his work as a fisherman. Jesus said, "Launch the boat." And what a time, too. Peter's labor seemed to be fruitless. Jesus urged him to take up his net still and to do it precisely as a Christian. You are called to such a vocation too, probably to more than one. Consider how you were called, where and in what relationships you are a Christian. You are husbands or wives, children or parents, citizens, workers or employers, and the like. You have particular tasks and jobs. Maybe you are a mother or a farmer or a salesman. And the Lord doesn't call you away from those jobs just because you are a baptized disciple. Your vocation, your calling, is the place in which God has put you to be a Christian, where you are a Christian. A passage to remember is Colossians 3. Whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And this encouragement follows right on the heels of the first thing kept first. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In fact, it is this word of Christ, this forgiveness of sins, and the certainty that we have in our Lord's temporal and eternal promises, that is what causes us to continue in our callings, working diligently, doing it all as if we were doing it for Christ himself. Not out of compulsion, but willingly, for the sake and the love of our neighbors. Now, sure, I think most of our jobs don't really get instructions that are so clear as throw your net right here in this place. I don't even have those kind of instructions for my vocation. But still, we can adopt this phrase rightly as a paraphrase of what Paul writes in Colossians 3. We can all say, at your word, Lord, I will let down my nets, whatever that task is. And what if your work fails? Well, what is that? What if riches should increase? Set not your hearts upon them. Whatever station in life the Lord has called you to be a Christian in, take up that task with every confidence and even with joy. Because it is the Lord who cares for you. It's the Lord who redeems you and loves you. It is the Lord who will see to your success, and even better than that, to your eternal life, and has already seen to it in Jesus Christ, his Son. You are his disciple. You are his Christian. What can a Christian expect like this, laboring in whatever vocation the Lord has placed you in, laboring by faith at your word, Lord? Not as if your life or your salvation depended on it. Well, to say that there would be ups and downs would be pretty cliche. It's certainly the way it goes for Peter. One moment, he's caught the whole darn lake. And the next, his crew is about to be sunk to the bottom of Lake Galilee, Gennesaret. Reluctant to throw out the net in the wrong place at the wrong time. But Peter's the fisherman, not Jesus. But pressed on nevertheless by the Lord's word. And then the glory of God miraculously falls on Peter like a ton of fish, crushing him, almost drowning him with goodness. You can envision him struggling through the surf, pulling whatever net or boat he has behind him, collapsing in exhaustion and in fear at Jesus' feet. Lord, I am a sinful man. That is true. The life of a Christian living and working in your vocation will bring you to repentance, will bring you to your knees. You will know your sin. You will see and experience every day your weaknesses. You'll recognize then that there's a sharp edge to the Lord's omnipotence, that he is powerful and in charge of everything. And that's your unholiness and your insufficiency in the face of it. But rather than blurting out Peter's almost demonic statement, I am a sinner, Lord, so get away from me. No, dear disciples, return to Jesus and to his word. Jesus, in the presence of these crowds, says, do not be afraid, to Peter. And he says it to you also. This is the one who binds up the broken heart. This is the one who forgives, who receives, like we heard the last 2 weeks, who throws a divine pardon over repentant sinners. That is the character and life then of a Christian also, of a disciple. The daily drowning and the daily rising anew in this forgiveness of sins, returning in fear to the Lord, but having our fears lifted by His gracious word as our confidence. Better would be to say, "Stay with me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Or, as Peter himself said later in the Gospels, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life." And lastly, we see something else about vocation in this text. We see the Lord's call of Peter and James and John, Andrew too, to be disciples for a different responsibility. They are called to be fishers of men. They are called to do something that not every Christian is called to do, to forsake everything, to be the 12, those eyewitnesses selected by Jesus to be sent, which is what the word apostle means, sent with the responsibility of catching men, just as Jesus had first caught Peter through the preaching of the law and of the gospel, the preaching of repentance for the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. The 12 were called immediately by Jesus, in person, right there, "Follow me." Today, Jesus doesn't call people that way. He calls men into his preaching office immediately by means of his church. And actually today, after the service and after St. Gerard's, I'm going to Lemoore because they are receiving a new pastor who's going to be ordained and installed, Pastor Durka. But this is not a more holy calling, dear saints, as if it alone were from God. In Mark's account of this miraculous catch and the call of Peter and his companions, we hear explicitly about Zebedee, who's only just mentioned in passing in Luke's account, this father of James and John. And he doesn't go with his sons. He isn't called to leave everything, to leave behind his vocation of fishing and the rest, to follow Jesus. That's really important to see. Because otherwise it would either mean that Zebedee was not a Christian at all, he's somehow less, or it would mean that all of us have to abandon what the Lord has called us into already, contrary to what Paul, of course, says. Rather, Zebedee labors faithfully in a holy call as a fisherman. And the Lord calls Peter, James, and John, and men to catch men. And what applies to all vocations equally is the confidence of Christian freedom, which comes not by ordination, not by a rightly ordered call, but simply by holy baptism and the gospel itself. All of us, each of us, receive the name that is the same: saint, disciple, Christian, regardless of whether we are male or female, rich or poor, hearer of God's word or preacher of it. That, if you look at the Bible, is the true divine call. It's the calling to be a Christian, to be shaped by repentance and faith, and to be sanctified by the word of God and prayer, no matter what place. And then we go about our work, whatever it is, wherever it is, joyfully, knowing that in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. Our sins are forgiven. Our work is sanctified. And at the Lord's will, at the Lord's word, we will keep going, even till we lay our head down at night and at the last in peace and sleep. Because our sins are forgiven. Jesus doesn't say, "Depart, you sinful worker." He says, "Do not be afraid." And so we are glad to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and to follow Him confidently at His word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.